and to be involved with. We read from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. You can remain seated as it's an epistle text. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, continuing in Jesus' name. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But after faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as had been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, neither bond or free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless your word this day and every day, henceforth. Amen. Confirmation. To be established. Really to be held firm, to be brought close, to be received, however you want to talk about it. A lot of us have gone through this. A lot of us have spent a lot of time and dedication. Even here, I believe we have 10 years of schooling to get to the confirmation age. Yes, we might have a few that come in at the last moment and things like that, but nothing changes. It is not a way to impress people on our memorization. It is not a rite that we do that all of a sudden when we say the magical words, now we become a member. It is rather an aspect of faith. It is the understanding and knowing of what Jesus Christ has done for you, and that now you have fully received the gift that has been poured out. Confirmation is not a toy, but yet confirmation also really is not a biblical thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. If any of us would take 5 minutes and read the introduction, even in the catechism, that we often push and that we often stand behind for good reason. We would see that Luther himself says very plainly, this is not a responsibility of the leaders of the church. This is a responsibility of the parents to teach in the homes. Confirmation is not something that just happens in your last year of Sunday school. Confirmation is not something that just happens out at Camp Lucky for 1 week. Confirmation is really the affirmment of everything that you've grown up and understood throughout the years. It is establishing the young individual to the point of being able to understand what has been given to them. Confirmation is not just one day. Confirmation comes to us many times throughout our life where we have to make a decision, where we have to stand firm on what we believe. The Church of Galatia, they really were an interesting church. They had a very powerful time where Paul was able to share the word with them, where they were able to believe and receive. But yet now, even when we look at this one chapter, chapter 3, we open up very strongly in chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians! Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You knew the truth. You were firm in the truth. But yet someone has come along and given you a different understanding and you received it. Who? Who has this power? Who has this ability? Who has tricked you in this fashion? And that is going to be a struggle for you confirmants throughout your life. There will always be someone that will be trying to convince you of a different way. There will always be someone that will try to encourage you to see things in a new light, one that had never been thought of before. You heard Pastor Chuck talk so strongly about the faith. You heard Pastor Travis Cephalus speak so firmly about baptism. You heard Pastor Joel speak so strongly about communion. You've heard Pastor Charlie speak about overcoming struggles and difficulties through Christ so strongly. A man that knows what he's talking about because he has gone through a lot. That is what this is about. Not that you can come up here and just read. Or not that you can brag to everybody else how much you memorized before, as some of us adults have a tendency to do. But that you know where your strength comes from. There was a scripture verse that I quoted in my classes. And to me, it is one of the most fundamental scripture verses that gets me through everything in my life. Do any of you remember what that scripture verse was? Philippians. I can do all things through Christ. Straight. I was cleaning up confirmation. Cleaning up the sanctuary or the chapel, and I found four different people wrote that on different things. And I heard that even in the girls' dorm, that Patty shared with you her strength of that verse. That's all. If that's all you learn at confirmation camp, that is enough. Because you will grow through that. You will grow because God's word is never void. And Paul comes across very strongly saying, who has bewitched you? He says, actually, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive this Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You heard a word. And God gave you the ability to receive that word. And brothers and sisters in Christ, it is no different for them as it is for us. Living in that word will make us more than conquerors. Paul says, now before faith came, and really Jesus being the object of faith and also the giver of faith, he says, we were held captive under the law. And it's an interesting thing how he talked about this. He really says, we're imprisoned, he says. We're held captive. We have no ability to be released. We couldn't do it of ourselves because no matter what we did, no matter how we acted, no matter what was portrayed to us, we could not do any different. There had to be one that would come in and do something for us. And His name is Jesus. We call Him Savior because I and you and all of us needed saving. He says, before faith came, we were held bondage to this law. We were imprisoned. And then it says, until the coming of faith would be revealed. And how is that revealed? In and through Jesus. In and through Jesus. He says, so then, the law was our guardian, or actually disciplinarian. That's really what this would mean in the Greek context. We say schoolmaster in King James. But we have a different understanding of schoolmaster in our day and age. Schoolmaster may be a principal. What happens if you get in trouble with the principal now? You get sent to the principal's office and you might, at best, get in detention. Really, if you did something real radical, you might actually get expelled. That means be released and sent out into the world without them having responsibility for you. That was not what this schoolmaster was. Some of us that in this congregation that might be a little bit older, say, hitting the 80 mark, how was your teacher? What did your teacher do when you disbehaved? When you were a naughty boy or girl? You hear stories about the yardstick coming out, don't you? You hear about the knuckles. You hear about the buck. Everything. This disciplinarian was actually a slave that was set over the child. And he would make sure the child did what was right at all times, even if it meant beating the child. And that's what the law does to us. Where do we find relief in the law? Which one of us can say, the law makes me feel great. I feel pleasure and contentment in the law. The law stands over us like a schoolmaster, waiting to hit us, waiting to tell us when we're wrong. Because we have no ability of ourselves to actually take care of the problem. We can take it in a simple fashion. Every single speed limit sign, even in this world, indicates to us either we're doing good or we're speeding. And most of us are generally speeding. Most of us. We don't really even think much about it anymore until the true law comes along, don't we? We're heading down 41, we're doing 60 miles an hour, we think nothing of it, but we see a speed limit sign, we don't change our speed, do we? Well, what about when that Tahoe with a red bubble comes over the next hill? What's the first thing we look at? How fast? The law is always pressure on us. And it's not that the law is wrong. That speed limit on 41 isn't wrong. It keeps people safe. It has a purpose. But it's that we can't do it. So he turns around and he says, we were held captive. We were imprisoned by this law until the coming of faith was revealed. He says, so then the law was our schoolmaster. And too many people still preach it in this day and age. The law is our schoolmaster. It does not say that. I don't even think you can find a translation out there that says it. King James doesn't even say it. The law was our schoolmaster until Christ. Until Christ. Until He came. In order that we may be justified by what? Faith. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we need to understand. It is a justification that is given by faith through grace. And that's why we are able to receive you. We're not able to receive you because you guys are just perfect. Because you're going to now, from here on out, do everything just in a perfect way. I'd love it if you did. But you're not going to. You want to know something? Neither do I. I'm not justifying sin. I'm not justifying not being perfect in ourselves. It's impossible. But the point is that we know the one who is perfect, that can continue to conform us to His image, that can continue to work in our lives. You guys have been equipped and given the best tools that can ever be given to you throughout your lifetime. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're successful, if you fail in life, or whatever it may be, with the tools you have been given in and through Jesus Christ, you can be victorious. The world doesn't like to show you that. Where does the world lay its victory? In riches, popularity. It lays its victory in what you can own. It lays its victory in your prestige or anything else. But there's no contentment. Real victory is having the peace that passes all understanding to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that no matter what this world throws at us, that we are more than conquerors to Him who is with us. The victory is that you can face your high school years and know that Christ is on your side. Who could be against us? We know that the victory is that you can go through your college years and you can have that same comfort. And the victory is that now you can get married and you can deal and function within your marriages because of the victory. He says, so this law was our guardian until Christ came, that He might justify us by this faith. He says, but now that faith has come, he says, guess what? We are no longer under the guardian. We don't live according to that law. We live according to Christ Jesus in us. We live according to His Holy Spirit within us. And people would turn around and say, well, now, Pastor, you're giving them the license to go out and do whatever they want. What foolish thinking. If an individual is found in Jesus Christ, living in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, empowered by that Holy Spirit, are they going to enter into this world seeking to do devilish deeds? The answer is no, because they are governed by one who is holy, pure, and righteous. And if one has no need of God, and if one has no need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and if one has no need of any of that, guess what they're doing anyway? Whatever they want. But I am speaking to individuals that have affirmed their faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to individuals that have known the truth. Do not allow anyone to deceive you. Don't allow tradition to deceive you. Don't allow Jesse to deceive you. Always affirm in and through His Word, by the power of His Holy Spirit, of what is right. The world will tell you a lot of things that are right. Do you remember my class? I did the class on relationships. Remember how we talked about how the world gauges things and tells you what's right and wrong in relationships? Scripture shows you purely a different view. And you will never be sorry for taking the Scripture's view. You will never have regrets if you follow the Scripture's view on relationships. Trust me, I know. He says, for as many of you now. Oh no, I can't skip that part. The next part is really powerful. He says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all the sons or the daughters of God through faith. You have been adopted. You are now, as we say in Sunday school, you've probably heard this many times as young children, you're the children of a king. Do we believe that? That we are the children of a king. The one who has created everything from nothing has given us all things in Jesus Christ. If you have needs, seek from Him. If you have questions, seek from Him through His Word. Go to His body, the body of believers, and be encouraged. Go to His body when you are burdened and receive in reality the audible forgiveness. Not that man has done anything, but that we can affirm and that we can encourage each and every one of you that Christ has died for you. His blood has cleansed you. Don't lose sight of this. Sometimes we get in life and we get so bogged down we don't know which way to turn. Let me give you an early indication. Come here. You don't have to come to me. But come to a brother or sister in Christ who truly loves you and be encouraged. I would encourage you to come to me. But come to anyone that knows the truth and can encourage you in and through your difficulties. Don't try to go alone. We talk about the assembling. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as it is with some. We think that only speaks about church. We think that only speaks about the aspect of a church life. And that is extremely important. But it talks about all aspects of our life. That we would be encouraged with one another. That we would have the words of affirmation for one another. That we would always point to Jesus Christ together to encourage another. He says, you are really adopted. You are the sons and daughters of God. Through what? Not your works. Not your ability, not any great strategy, not through memorization, but through the faith that God has. Too many times we hear it preached against. Too many times we even hear people misquote Scripture and they'll say, well, the devil believes. What does it say in that Scripture? It says the devil believes and trembles because his faith is not unto salvation, it is rather unto damnation. Never belittle faith. Jesus himself says, faith of a grain of mustard seed. You can do all things. You can move mountains. You can tell a tree to go. And we turn around in our life and we want to do some charismatic movements in that, don't we? We see people out there trying to physically move mountains or move a cup or do something. Trust me. In and through the aspect of faith, mountains have been moved in my life. Things that seemed impossible have been removed. Things that I never felt I could ever get through, I have endured and been able to go through in and through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are all the children of God through faith. He says, for as many of you are baptized or joined together. And that's really what baptized means. Baptismo, it's really a word that is used for dyeing fabric, where you would take, say, a white fabric, like your beautiful shirts there, and you'd put them in a red dye. Joined together, not to be removed. He says, as all of you are baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. You are a new creature. You could say very strongly, as Paul says, all things have passed away, all things have become new. Your life is not your own. You were purchased with a price. And you are now His. And He will provide. He will take care. He is the one to continue walking you in this walk of faith. He says, now I want you to understand this. And we might lose some sight of this in our day and age. But He turns around and He says, there's neither Jew or Greek. He says, so there's no longer this understanding of Israelites or Gentiles. There's neither Jew or Greek. He says, there's no longer free or slave or male or female. He says, all are in Christ. Really what He's talking about here is there's no degree. There's no position in salvation. It is given for all. But how is it received? By faith. There's a lot of people that will quote Scripture in different ways. They'll turn around and they'll tell you, well, you know, when you talk about all this faith stuff, that's too much. Because really they say in the Scripture, narrow is the path that leads unto salvation, but broad is the way that leads to damnation. And they'll bring it out in that aspect. And that's absolutely true. That path is so narrow that there is only one way. It's not through Allah. It's not through any Buddhist God. It's not through any of these other religions of the world. It is found in and through Jesus Christ and Him alone. He says very plainly, I am the way to the Father. Through me and only me. So very narrow is that way. There is no other path. It is in and through Jesus Christ and Him alone. But who? Who can enter in? That is the question. Who can enter in? All who believe. All who believe. And that is a very powerful fundamental. To understand and know it is by grace through faith, not of our own doing, not by our own imagination, not by the systems of the world or the religions of the world. He paid the price for you and for me. He says it's not according to basically what ethnic group you're from or if you're from this chosen group. It's neither free or slave, and it's not about being a male or female. Too many times in our life we've turned around and we've put limitations. Even when you look at the old temple worship, there was limitations. You had a Gentile's court, then you had a woman's court, then you had the men's court, and basically a place for the Pharisees and the Holy of Holies. You had this area here that was divided. The women could not worship with the men. There was always this division. This is over. You know, we talk about people being with women's lib or standing up for women's rights. Who did it more than Jesus Christ Himself? He walked with them. He talked with them. They served Him. They were part of His group. Too many times we divide over different factions. He says there is no more degree of position, no more degree of salvation. He says now. He says, and if you are Christ, He says then what? And He's really tying this back. Long time ago, guys. He's not tying this back just to when the law was given. He's tying this back even 430 years before the law. We have a tendency to turn around as human beings and want to worship this law. Turn around and try to implement it as being the way of salvation. No, actually what Paul says very plainly here is, he says, now, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's offspring. Is this not also something we've heard about with the Sunday school? Growing up in our years. Father Abraham, many sons. I'm not going to sing because I'm terrible at that. Do we believe it? And really what Paul will get into detail, even in the next chapter, if we took time to read our Scripture, he says, do you think that this law that was written 430 years after the promise to Abraham is going to supersede that? God always had a plan. God has always had His eye upon each and every one of you. And He has always desired that you would be saved by grace through faith by the finished work of His only begotten. And this is exactly what He says. You now, by this faith, are those children. Do you remember? Do you remember when Abraham turned around and said, Lord, I don't have any seed. I have no one to carry on my name. I'm going to take one of my servants and do this. I'm going to figure out my own way, is what Abraham's saying. And God said, no! You will not figure out your own way. He says, look up into the stars. He says, can you count them? This will be your descendants from your seed. He tells them in another part, look at the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth. He says, if any man could count them, that would be the number of descendants. He says, we are Abraham's seed because it is a covenant that God has made with him, a promise. And you heard a lot about covenants, didn't you? God has so richly blessed us. May we never forget this. May we continue to worship and to strengthen the body through His love and through His Word. And may we continue to encourage even these young individuals, and also may we young individuals continue to encourage us. As you heard Pastor Jay speak so boldly, confirmation is not a graduation where we disappear. Confirmation is an establishment in the congregation, that now we would be participants within the congregation. We need to. It's not that God has need of us, that we can produce anything for Him. But as the body of Christ, He has given many different gifts, as Paul also shares with us. And each and every one of you has a gift. We need that gift. I pray that you will continue to worship with us. I pray that you will continue to encourage us. And I pray that us adults, as we call ourselves, sometimes it's questionable, especially with me, but us adults would take seriously not just the aspect of memorization and confirmation, but that we would get to know individually their gifts, their abilities, and encourage them. But you know what? If you guys don't come back, we can't get to know them. I've been encouraged by many of my confirmants who continue to come here, continue to help with camps, continue to do many different things. That is a great encouragement. I pray that you find that comfort also. But most of all, I pray that you know the gift of God. Let us be. His name is Jesus. He's paid for every one of your sins. He has washed you from evil, and He has made you whole. Be encouraged by that gift. For Jesus' name.